Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18+. Welcome to the Brighton Rock Podcast, the podcast about the beautiful club within the beautiful game. And it's our match day special. Unfortunately, I couldn't travel up to the game myself due to some work commitments and also a rather poorly cat. So that scuppered it for me. But my trusty associates, my northern correspondents, Alistair and Nick, travelled all the way down to Brighton to watch the game, so I commissioned them to help out, and they did a pretty good job. Here it is. Oh, there's a couple of faux pas. I'll talk about that afterwards. Anyway, here they are.
Welcome to the Brighton Rock Podcast, and here we are in Nick's not-too-shabby banger, as it were, car, heading down the road from Manchester to Brighton, and we've just joined the M23. And today is Saturday afternoon. We're doing a match day special, but given the A23. There we go, as you just heard, joining the A23 after the M23. Here we are, one of the challenges of being a football fan with a Sunday kickoff at lunchtime, which is very unfair for those of us who aren't native to our Sussex. And I imagine it's not going to be very pleasant for those Liverpool fans, but we're a long way ahead of them because we haven't had any traffic whatsoever. But anyway, the last time we did this podcast, we had a great time up in that there Everton. I don't suppose we need to say much more. Everyone's been following what's been happening at Everton, haven't they, Nick?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a disaster for them. But anyway, we're coming towards the promised land now.
Yes, absolutely.
Sat nav is just telling me it's about half an hour away for us to get to our hotel. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to tomorrow's game as well.
Assuming, of course, we've actually got enough players left to be able to play for us so that we can field a squad.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to go into that in a lot more detail over the next half hour or so, but God, yeah. That was a shock at 10 o'clock last night when that tweet came out, wasn't it?
But can I just say, if Fabrizio Romano was sitting in the back of this car right now, I would quite likely punch him on the nose right now. That, yeah, he's a tyrant. From after a statement from the club saying that Caicedo has been requested not to attend training, we then see a tweet from Fabrizio saying he refused to turn up for training. Well, he'd just been told not to come, actually. So, classic journalism, the difference between journalism and stirring. I don't know how much of a cut that guy gets for all of those transfer deals from the agents, but I imagine it's probably enough to feather his nest. And the rest of the exploitative practices that all of those agents make money out of those talented players that we have. I know that, you know, they go for money, but that does really bug me. These agents, they've got zero talent, and the only way they make any money is by lining their nests through exploiting young footballers.
Allegedly?
No, I think they've got no talent. They know how to make money, but you put a ball in front of them and they would be as inept as me at scoring, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm just covering your arse there.
Well, they can come and sue me. But I stand to say that those footballing agents have zero footballing talent. Otherwise, they'd actually be playing football rather than making money out of the misery of football fans and exploiting those football players that they do. They would say, of course, they're helping them.
Yeah, I just, what galls me is that he said, a couple of days ago that nothing's fazing him and he's his mind's on the job, and we all thought we'd be coming down this weekend to watch him play, didn't we? And then 24 hours later, his agents released that tweet or that social media, and now he's not going to training, and you know there's going to be a big battle over it. And I don't know, even if he stays and we dig our heels and he stays, it's not going to be conducive to good team morale, is it?
No, and of course, we haven't mentioned his name yet, but for those of you that are worried, obviously we're talking about Moses Caicedo, and the whole debacle about the transfer or not issue. And he's been told, at the time of recording, on Saturday afternoon, he's been told not to appear at training and also not to come into the club until the 1st of February when the transfer window is closed. But for me, my opinion here is, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more in the next half an hour or so, and as we get to the match, we'll be doing some live updates from the match as well later in the podcast, which will be tomorrow. But as we do that, we'll be talking about everything that is happening on the podcast. Anyway, we'll sort of see what happens as we go here, but
suffice to say, I don't think we'll be seeing him play tomorrow.
No,
and we'll be having a slightly rejigged midfield, but hopefully, Billy Gilmore's rubbing his hands with glee. He's got a chance now, hasn't he?
Yep, and of course we've got Ali Mack, and we've got history against Liverpool in the FA Cup. The last time that we beat Liverpool in the FA Cup, we went on to a final in 1983, and the last time we beat Liverpool was only about 2 weeks ago, which was pretty impressive. I wasn't at the match, but what a great match to watch.
Yeah, it was a great match, but going back to that history, you think we beat them 2-1 in 83, 2-0 in 84, and I think it was in 1990 we went up to Anfield, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it was 2-2 all. And Mike Small scored, and I've forgotten the guy who scored that diving header from a cross by the legend that I cannot remember either now.
Jimmy Case.
No, it wasn't Jimmy Case. It was the other guy.
Steve Foster.
I've run out. I've forgotten his name.
I forgot too. Sorry.
But it was a great game too. Well, I was at that game 1990. So yeah, it was a great game. But then the last time we played him in the FA Cup, if you remember, I think it was a 6-1 defeat, wasn't it?
And didn't we score more goals than Liverpool? And I also remember Noon was like totally fanboying, being at Anfield, touching the This Is Anfield sign and being the total idiot. So no wonder they got absolutely mullered. But yeah, I think we scored 3 own goals, and we scored 1 goal, and they scored 3 goals. But they won 6-1.
Yeah, it was 6-1. And Kasenga said he scored a great free kick to level it up. But then from there on, it went just downhill.
Just from there. Very rapidly. Downhill quicker than Everton's prospects of being able to get into their new stadium in the Premier League at the moment.
Yeah, but I mean, if we take on recent form, we beat them 3-0. Well, we murdered them, didn't we, 3-0. A couple of weeks ago,
it was a delight.
Yeah, I just cannot see them being as bad again.
No.
But it should be interesting to see what sort of team they put out. Where they put out their strongest team, where they put out like they did against Wolves. They changed about 6 players, didn't they, from their standard Premier League? So it'll be interesting to see what they do. So if they put out a weaker team, we put out a full team, I'd fully expect us to beat them. But just see how it goes.
It's going to be really interesting, isn't it? Because for Liverpool, they're below us still in the Premier League at the minute, and their priority, I imagine, they probably budget to be in Europe, whereas we budget to go out of the first round of every single cup that we play. And I certainly remember Dick Knight talking about that, and that was the only way that we stayed on a firm footing as a club. So, but at the same time, I don't think Klopp's an idiot. I reckon Klopp will have a strategy. He'll have worked out the way that we play. He's going to approach today's game in a very different way. And actually, maybe not having Moses Caicedo in the midfield and mixing things up a little bit might actually do us a slight favour, because it will not be what Klopp is expecting as much.
Yeah, well, I was watching an article or something on YouTube by the Liverpool fan channel, and they reckon over the last 2 games he's gone back to trying to get a solid base, be far more defensively minded, get that sorted, and then from there they can build on that. And that's why you see that I don't think they've conceded a goal since they played us. They've had a couple of, you know, 1-0s and 0-0s against Chelsea. So I think they've decided that they've got to get the defence sorted.
But we do have to remember Chelsea, you know, against those lower teams, you do tend to get those 0-0 draws for teams that are struggling at the bottom of the league, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And I can't imagine Chelsea, Liverpool, are going to sit back against us. I think, you know, I just think they'll go for it. And neither of us want to... Do we get a replay in this, or is it a... Is it depends?
I have a feeling it might still be at the replay stage, and then after this it goes to to extra time and pens, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. We probably need to check that.
Yeah, don't we check that later on tonight? But yeah, I don't think if it is a replay, I doubt they'll want a replay because they'll be getting into their European soon. Yeah.
Great. Well, we've just gone past Gatwick and Creepy Crawley, so not far to go on the M3. We'll catch up with you later, and we'll bring some other people into the podcast as we go. But just bye from us for the moment, and we'll pick up in a little bit. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, from the Caxton. I'm here with Nick, Duncan and Ian, or IFP. Say hello, Ian.
Hello, everyone.
And we've just been discussing Johnny Crumpling, football genius, who was the...
Johnny Crumpling, football genius.
There we go. And there are replays at this part of the FA Cup as well. So today, if it's a draw against Liverpool, we'll be going back to Anfield. And maybe we can beat them there, who knows. But yeah, well, how are you feeling about the match? Over to you, Ian, first of all.
Fairly confident. We beat them 3-0 2 weeks ago, so, you know, there's everything to play for today, so I think we can do them again today. Might be a closer match, but I think we can pip it today.
And I've been talking to Duncan while we've been getting our chips and our pint in, which at 10:30 in the morning is a little bit challenging, it's fair to say. But we've been talking about how we'll set up in the midfield, obviously, not having Caicedo starting today, as far as we're aware. We haven't seen the team list yet. But, yeah, what do you reckon we'll be doing?
Well, it's any old guess, really. I really don't know. You stole what I was going to say there. You know, with no Lallana, no Caicedo... How does he set up? You bring in various, you know, Enciso, Sarmiento. What's he do with Gross? What's he do with Lamptey? I mean, it's just a great thing to throw it up in the middle and see what happens. I'm sure he's got a massive plan, but we just need to bring out the strongest team that we possibly can, because this is major. We need a good cup run. This is potentially one that we could even win, you know. I mean, it's incredible. We'll have to beat Man City at some point, but it's really looking forward to today. Like Ian, I'm positive. We're a couple of really decent key midfield players out, which is going to be difficult, but the ethos of the team, the confidence of the team, and the way we set up, the way we play, I think we can do them again and go through to the next round.
And interestingly, I did wonder also, the fact we haven't got Caicedo, and that would have been the plan that Klopp was expecting, we've kind of thrown in a curveball, not of our own doing, but obviously Klopp's now got to adjust to circumstances that we've also got to adjust to, so we won't necessarily be playing the way he's been planning for us to play either.
Absolutely, yeah. And they're not great at the moment. Defensively, they're frail. Midfield isn't so good.
Yeah.
Forwards aren't scoring that much. You know, so the dice are in our favour at the moment. So hoping for another great game.
It does sound a little bit like, was it Hunger Games? May the odds forever be in your favour. So, we'll see. And Nick, what's your kind of feeling this morning, having sort of reflected on what we talked about last night? And
What did I say in the car yesterday? We were going to win.
I think you might have, yeah.
I think I'm still positive. I think we've got to put out the full team today. Caicedo, no. So I think we've got Gross, got to go in the middle. Lamptey on the right. Still got a strong team.
As long as he hasn't been loaned out.
Yeah. where's he going? Marseille or Lyon or somewhere like that is the news at the moment, isn't it? No, I think, well, I'm confident. I think we'll win 2-1. 2-1.
There we go. Anyone else? No? Are we all talked out? Until we watch us kick a ball. Go on, predict a score.
Well, I predicted 3-1 last time and that was 3-0. I'll go 3-1 again.
Okie dokes. Ian?
I think same as Nick, 2-1. 2-1 Albion today.
I'm going to go same score against Leicester at Desmond. You're going to go for 2-2.
Oh,
and yeah, Nick?
No, I said 2-1. I'm going to go Mitoma and Gross.
Excellent. And in the Caxton, actually, we've been admiring a very good bit of fanzine art of Mitoma on the wall here. I do like it.
From the Dogma Boys fanzine.
Yeah. Big shout out for them, who've obviously been on the Brighton Rock podcast as well earlier. Go and find their podcast. Yeah, but they're entertaining lads. So
it's
Mitoma. According to our Lord and Saviour Russ, who the master of the Brighton Rock pod, who is married to a Japanese wife, it's Mitoma. So I'll go with Mitoma.
Right, okay.
Mitoma.
Right.
There we go. Excellent. So, well, we'll catch up at the ground then.
Half time, 1-1. And yeah, it's been an interesting match so far. Sorry, Duncan, you were just saying. we were just saying that both teams could have maybe scored two more goals.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Salah should have scored. Solly
should have buried
scored,
that, didn't he?
He should have buried that.
He's not on form this season.
And there's been a couple of defensive goal mouth scrambles that we've survived.
Yeah, it's been cleared off the line both at our end and at their end.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, as you predicted, they've turned up much better than they were last time. They couldn't be much worse. But it's been an entertaining game with lots of chances. Two goals, I managed to miss it by going to the loo for 90 seconds. Missed Dunk or Lamptey's goal, however you want to claim it.
Dunk got a good deflection on Lamptey's strike, basically, didn't he?
Yeah. And bloody hell, we're loud when we score. When you're downstairs in the loo, we are loud. That's great.
Not such a good view, though.
Not such a great view. No. Depends what you're looking at, though.
So far, it's definitely on for my prediction of 2-2, or your 2-1 prediction. And
no, mine was 3-1. I want to wind that one back a bit, but I can't now.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see. But they definitely look so much livelier than... Yeah, when we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But their number 18, I can't remember his name, but he's been getting his toe on so many of our crosses.
Yeah.
And that midfield, that engine in the midfield. Yeah, Gakpo, yeah. We've been losing possession in the midfield so much more than we did last time, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Missing some kind of midfield general, the Caicedos and Lallanas, as predicted.
Yeah.
But we're playing well. If we take our chances a bit more, it could work. But I think your 2-2 might be pretty accurate, actually. And then you get to go from Manchester to Liverpool for the replay.
Yeah, we'll go over to Anfield, because I imagine it'll be fairly easy getting hold of tickets, given the number of times we've played them recently.
Well, it's plenty of Liverpool in this stand today, actually.
Are there?
Yeah.
I've seen a few half and half scarves, which I never approve of. Yeah. So there we go. Excellent.
Nice. Well, looking forward to the second half. Yeah.
Okay. Me too. There you are. Checking offside from what would be the best Mitoma goal to seal the tie for us at 2-1. And we're waiting. I think they were also checking the club badge. The VAR checking the club badge. Because we had a clear red card with a shove on McAllister. And it's been given. That's it, 2-1. Decision goal, no offside effect. It would have been a travesty to have given that goal off. We don't know how many minutes are left of injury time, added on time.
God, I'm shaking.
I'm shaking too. The North Stand, are we up in the West Stand? The North Stand are having a great time.
Starting now.
So we think there's about 30 seconds left of added on time. Liverpool are attacking in our half, just outside the penalty area.
That's 5 minutes. 5 minutes are up.
5 minutes are up. We're watching the ref. The whistle's in his lips.
No,
that's because it's a throw-in.
No.
And on comes and comes Van Hecke. Off comes Lamptey. On comes Van Hecke.
How long can this take? There's a star man running down the wing. His name is Tarek Lamptey.
I know, man.
It's a Rory Delap long throw into the penalty area. And Salah, who's not had his shooting boots on today.
Undav's all over him.
Undav's all over him. It's gone back. It's gone back to Milner. And it's a goal kick. But we're still waiting. Come on, Albion. Come on, Albion. Jason Steele is taking his time with this goal kick, and rightly so. The ref's looking at his watch. No, game's going on. That's it. Final whistle is blown. Brighton are through to the next round of the FA Cup. Bye-bye, Liverpool. Cheerio, cheerio, cheerio. We're downstairs in the North Stand and we've just beaten the Liverpool Scousers 2-1 and we're on our way to Wembley watching the highlights and they're just showing the Matuma goal. So, IFP, otherwise known as Ian, what's your feelings about the game?
What he said, marvellous. Marvellous. I predicted 2-1 before the game. And we also had a discussion about there's never a dull FA Cup game between Brighton and Liverpool. And this goes to show exactly. But once again, we've come out on top and on to the next round. Come on, Albion.
Absolutely amazing. And we've got Alan here as well. Hi, Alan. How you doing?
Oh, I'm very, very happy. Very, very happy.
What's your feelings about the game?
Well, it was... You would kind of imagine Klopp was going to come out. They're obviously determined to beat us this time after their 3-0 mauling. But I think we're the better side. They did better, Liverpool. But and I think there was a few areas that maybe we could have improved. We're a little bit slow at the back, maybe.
We're a bit scrappy losing the ball
And I hate to say it, but we did miss Caicedo. I think that's a work in progress now to decide how we deal with that. But anyway. Listen, Matoma's goal was unbelievable.
Oh, wasn't it?
The shivers down my spine.
I think it was a right flick, a left flick, and then a bang. And
I had that kind of pins and needles in my head, right through my head. It's happened twice actually today. Matoma, but then when, before the game, they showed the highlights of the 2-0 win against Liverpool in 1984, which I was at. I just felt that. It actually brought a tear to my eye just remembering that day, special day, because that was fantastic. So I'm so happy. And Bournemouth next week. 3 points.
You're making Bournemouth.
Huh?
Oh, Bournemouth, sorry, League Cup.
Next week
sorry,
in the League Cup.
In the Premier League.
Premier League.
And off we go. We're on our way again. What was your feelings about the game?
Fantastic game. The goal from Mitoma was special.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. I predicted 3-1 win, but I'll take a 2-1 win.
Oh, absolutely. I predicted 2-2. I'm so glad I was wrong.
Yeah. And Alison here, what did you predict?
What did you predict, Alison?
I'm afraid I'm hopeless at predictions. I predicted we were going to lose today.
But
I'm very glad to be wrong on this occasion.
I predicted we were going to draw 2-2, the same as Leicester.
Yeah.
What was your thinking about the game? What was your highlight for you?
Just that 90-whatever minute winner, just absolutely superb. It's just so exciting to still be in the draw for tomorrow night. Can't wait.
And who do you want in the draw tomorrow?
Well, two missing grounds for me, Sunderland or Fleetwood, but anyone easy, really, it should be.
And they're both missing for me as well. I'm quite happy to go to Sunderland or Fleetwood. I've not been to any, that's the only ground in the North East I've not been to, Sunderland. So,
Yeah, me too.
Fantastic. Well, I hope to see you up in Manchester again for an away game one day. Hopefully
not, but not Man City in the next round.
Or Man United.
No.
I hope Russ's cat gets better as well soon.
Oh yeah, I really do hope, we do hope Russ's cat gets better, because we understand he's been looking after the cat this weekend, which is why myself and Nick have been sort of hosting this podcast tonight. But yeah, thoughts and prayers for Marmalade the cat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Wish Marmalade all the best. Hope he's wearing his Brighton scarf.
Cheers to Marmalade, and Russ, you're a legend.
Absolutely. Up the Albion. So we're very, very privileged today to have an exclusive with Bill, who's Alison's dad. And Bill is going to give us his thoughts on the game. Over to you, Bill.
Well, I'll add my thoughts on the game in a moment. But I've been watching Albion now since 1975.
Wow.
Only missed a few games. And I feel privileged to be watching with certainly the best Albion side by a long chalk that I've ever seen in watching over nearly 50 years. Wonderful side, well managed, well organised, with one or two quite brilliant players, of which I think Mitoma ranks as perhaps the best forward I have seen here, better even than Peter Ward, and that's an ultimate tribute.
Absolutely. We used to sing Johnny Crumpling Football Genius. I think we might be singing Karu Mitoma Football Genius.
Well, with respect to Johnny Crumpling, I think we called him Football Genius more in a kind of slightly ironic way than because he had any particular talent. But Mitoma is obviously a hugely talented player with both feet, and he has defenders simply going in every direction and other than the correct one. So he is a superb player, but backed up by wonderful players in midfield, huge organisation, and a very, very well-run club. And their success in recruiting is absolutely superb.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you were telling me just before we started recording that, sort of watching from the West Terrace, you know what he's going to do, but you also know that the defenders know what he's going to do, but they can't do anything about it.
Well, I think when I watch Mitoma, he always threatens to cut inside, but I know he's always going on the outside.
Yep.
But the defenders are never quite certain. But he's excellent with both feet, and I think the nearest I've ever seen to him was Peter Ward, who also had that ability to go on the outside and run along the goal line and put his crosses in. But Mitoma is just absolutely superb, but backed up by some excellent players. And it was very nice today for me to see a Brighton side just as effective, just as well organised, without Caicedo.
Yeah.
I think the club has done the right thing to tell Moises Caicedo to go off, cool off, and then decide whether he really does think that his bread is better buttered somewhere else than down here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what do you reckon? Do you think he'll still be with us on the 1st of February when he's been told to report again for training?
My gut feel is that Arsenal tomorrow or Tuesday will come in with an offer that we can't refuse. Sooner or later he's going to go. And therefore I think probably if we get the business done and get the money in we want, let's move on. We've seen we can manage without him. Let's carry on managing without him.
Brilliant. Well, thanks ever so much, Bill. It's been really good talking to you, and thank you for your history and that dedication that you've got supporting the Albion over all those years. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Well, that was excellent to talk to Ahmed and Alison and Bill and Alan and Ian and Duncan and everyone, all of the great friends of the Brighton Rock Pod down there in the North Stand after the match. So yeah, it's so good to be able to celebrate that. Nick and I are now on that wonderful car park that exists around the outside of London called the M25, one of the best European car parks in the country, and we just thought we'd give you a few thoughts now around the game, and just what an excellent game. Mainly because we actually got bored of listening to Robbie Savage talking to Liverpool fans who basically think the world's going to end. But apart from that, what's your first thinking about that, Nick?
Well, first thoughts were we had a great view, didn't we, today from the stand upper. So not been in that part of the ground before, so you would have wanted to persuade me to go up there, and it was excellent. Beautiful, beautiful view from up there. We could see the way they set up, the way we attacked and defended. First time I'd sort of seen it live like that. Game overall, It was a bit edgy, wasn't it?
Really edgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely tell they were set up so much better than they were a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Klopp had obviously been getting them, training them all week. You need to intercept these passes that were just cutting them through like a knife in the last match.
Yeah, and, you know, those 50-50 balls early on, we weren't winning them. No. And our passes weren't quite going to play to the right feet. And it was sort of a little bit like, you know, it was sort of nearly there. Personally, I thought Lamptey had a good game.
Yeah.
But he couldn't quite get that ball away, could he? He was dribbling well. Obviously, Mitoma, fantastic. I mean, just quality.
He had Trent Alexander-Arnold in his back pocket, didn't he? He absolutely owned him.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. And the other one who should be mentioned, I know Steele doesn't do much in that match. If you look back, he didn't do very much, did he?
Yeah.
But I still think he's a quality goalkeeper when he's called into action. So yeah, I just thought it was a great game all round, really. And to come down all this way and see that, get a result, last minute goal, what a goal it was as well. You know, rounded it all off, really. What a fantastic weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, we'd had a great evening. We were hosted by Duncan last night. We had great food, nice beer, and just a great evening. And it was a cherry on the top of the cake. That was a wonderful cake for being a weekend down. So it definitely makes it worth coming down to Brighton for us Northerners, given that the sat nav at the moment is telling us we're not going to be getting home till 11 o'clock tonight, having got the train back to Burgess Hill, and we're on our way. I got just a couple of stats there, because it was interesting that possession and those other things that we were looking at when it came to the match. Because it didn't really feel that our possession was more than theirs, but we were 54% possession. They had 46%.
Yeah.
What is it? You had something to say about it?
Yeah, I felt they had more domination, particularly I felt they dominated the first half for sure.
Yeah.
Second half, we came into it, particularly in the first 10-15 minutes, we dominated that. But it never felt like we were in control of that game, and it felt like we were hitting them on the break rather than 2 weeks ago when we dominated it, you know, from start to finish.
Yes.
Being live, you know, I always wonder whether being live and watching it on telly, you get the two different perspectives. But I didn't feel like we were dominating that possession. Definitely not.
No, and there seemed to be more errors clipping in, and balls going astray, and those, some of those balls where they were just sort of being knocked over the top, and they're just a couple of yards too far away for people like Solly or even Mitoma to get on to. Yeah, it was just, you just felt nervy during that, particularly that first half. But second half, certainly the first half of that second half, we seemed to really get into our groove, but then we had nothing to show for it.
No, I know, and also, I hate to say it, but we probably missed Casido, didn't we? You know, it was, I know Gross and McAllister in there, but McAllister was a little bit, I mean, again, I might be wrong here, but McAllister didn't seem to have as much influence on the game as we'd hoped.
Yeah.
He had a few good balls, we'll come on to the fouls like in a minute, but, you know, I know he got shoved around a bit, but was it, I'm going to get his name wrong, is it Canate, there, number five, their big number five.
He's number six.
Whichever number he was, he was bloody beast, wasn't he? And I think Fergie struggled against him throughout the game, because I just think he was that much stronger than him. So in those duels, Canate always came out on top. But, I mean, look, we're not going to complain. We won 2-1. Bottom line.
Absolutely. And then number 18, I mean, he stuck his foot out so many times and managed to get those through balls that we didn't manage to quite get them to land where we needed them to land.
Yeah.
And the other thing, sort of really interestingly, we had 13 shots to their 8.
Yeah.
We had 6 shots on target, and they only had 2 shots on target in the whole game.
Yeah.
You just sort of look at that. But I suppose the next thing really that has to be spoken about, because we've just been looking on Twitter at pictures of poor Ferguson on crutches at the minute. Hopefully he's going to be okay. But they got 4 yellow cards to our 1. And it's fair to say we think there should have been 2 reds. So we've got 2 incidents here. Let's start with Ali McAllister, because that happened first. He was clear on goal and he got absolutely shoved over. The whole of the north stand, the whole of the east stand and the west stand and saw it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the linesman on the side didn't see it. And when we spoke to someone on the in the east stand, and they could see it, and that was the side that the linesman was running. What on earth was going on with that?
Well, it wasn't a shoulder-to-shoulder barge-type thing that we saw when we saw it at City when...
When Haaland scored the goal.
Yeah. That wasn't like that, was it? It wasn't, you know...
It was a clear take, eh?
You could see his hands come out.
He was last man.
You could see it, yeah.
It was a big push.
Yeah, and straight away, that was definitely... The last defender, that should have been a red. Absolutely clear. Unbelievable. And again, I'm not going to say it's a biased ref. Maybe he didn't see it, but how come everyone else in that ground saw it and he didn't?
And the grief that he got from the North Stand, and being up there in the West Stand, we were applauding the North Stand for singing "You're Not Fit to Referee" because he really wasn't. Yeah. Okay. So that was one clear red. The next one was Paul Ferguson, and we did see the highlights on the highlights reel after the match. And that was a horrendous, like, basically a foot went on top of Ferguson's ankle and you could see it twist. Yeah. And then he was down and obviously had to get subbed straight off, and they made him hobble all the way around the pitch as well. Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah. I mean, it looked bad in real life, but seeing it back on the telly, it looked
even worse.
And again, we couldn't see the reaction of Firmino, wasn't it, who did him?
Yeah.
We couldn't see his reaction live, but... Seeing it on telly, he knew he had done something. He was very lucky to get away with it.
He just looked, oh, phew, yeah. I got away with that one, didn't
he? Yeah, and it was like, he should have been off as well, and I don't understand, again, how the ref did not see that and send the guy off.
And if VAR is there to get clear and obvious errors and pull up a clear and obvious errors, not those silly offsides where someone's nasal hair is slightly offside, but when you've got two clear, straight red card offences, which is what VAR is for...
Yeah.
And they've not advised that referee, and then not only that, but it was so clearly wrong, like a whole stadium is telling the referee how badly he got it. I you kind of wonder what VAR is for.
Yeah. I know, and the worst thing about that is, just as that lad is getting into his stride, they've just taken him out. I mean, we don't know if it's going to be how serious it is, but let's say he's out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's a couple of weeks and he's got to get back into his life. So it's basically 4 weeks before he's back to where he was now.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
And that's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario, of course, he could be out at the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't got a big squad and we're pushing for Europe and we've finally got a striker who can find the back of the net. And actually, it was quite interesting, wasn't it, seeing him play alongside... Welbeck.
Having hit Ferguson and Welbeck both up the front. We haven't mentioned this yet. So it was the first time we've had two strikers on the pitch that are clearly targeting
them. And I thought it was quite interesting. I don't know if it fully worked today, but it'd be interesting to see it against other teams. Anyway, going back, straight red, no questions, and referee misses it again. And you can't, it's not like I feel like saying big team bias, but it just feels like it to me.
I mean in the stadium I sort of said they're checking the club badge on VAR when they were looking at the Mittema goal, and very thankfully for us it wasn't ruled offside, but there are other times when we've lost out to VAR because of decisions like that, but thank goodness that wasn't ruled out, because what a delight of a goal that was. And I just have to revel in that glory. There were two flicks and then a kick. Yeah. So it was like a 1-2-3. It was poetry in motion, that goal. So much so that a lot of the highlights I've seen of it, there's one particular shot, you can't see him actually take the strike because the cameraman's expecting the ball to have left his foot at that point. From that angle from behind the goal near the corner flag.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely a fantastic goal. And it sort of reminded you of a Welbeck's 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've now got... We must have 3 or 4 goals this season in the last 3 or 4 games, mustn't we?
Yeah.
Proper contenders.
It's just getting better and better.
Yeah.
And so there we are. We're into the fifth round of the FA Cup, which apparently happens midweek for the next round, does it? Someone was saying.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll probably be tomorrow or Tuesday.
The actual draw is on Monday. I believe the fifth round though is played
in the
that's probably because of the whole World Cup thing and all of the compromises that we've had to make in order to accommodate FIFA and their immoral.
Anyone at home, I think is what we want. I don't care, except apart from City, obviously. And if we're drawn away, small club away, smaller ones.
Yeah, I mean, we were chatting after the game. I think it might have been Ahmed that was saying about going to either Fleetwood or was it Alisson, either Fleetwood or Sunderland. We'd love to go up there.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Anyway, we are done. thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I'm going to hand back over to Russell, but meanwhile, stand or fall.
Up the Albion.
So thank you very much there to Alistair for hosting alongside Nick for the match day special in my absence. Our good old Northern correspondents helping keep the match day specials going in my absence due to work and cat issues. So thank you to them. Thank you to our other contributors. Really interesting to hear from Alison's dad, Bill, who I think are making his debut, I think more or less at least, on the podcast. Some really interesting insight. Praise indeed for the match winner Mittimer as well, saying it's possibly the best forward he's ever seen play for the Albion. That's another matter for debate now. We've really got to talk about that one. But really good to hear his insight. I'm not sure I agree on the Caicedo issue, actually. I do think we don't want to get the business done now and get it all out of the way. I think we want to hold on to him until the window closes and not sell till the summer. And I don't think we will sell until the summer. But those issues will be discussed in our next episode, which is a podcast. It's the Transfer Deadline Day special that we'll be recording on Tuesday evening, and you'll hear that published later that week. But in the meantime, thank you again to Alistair. A couple of bits I've got to pull him up on, though. Van Hecke and Lamperty. Lamperty? Really? Honestly, Al. No, he's a good guy. He's got a great voice for radio, and I think did a good job in my absence. So thank you again to him and to Nick. And glad they had a good time down at the Amex. We'll be back there next time, of course, for Bournemouth. But in the meantime, there's that Transfer Deadline Day special coming up from a pub in Hackney Downs. Until then, I'm going to sign out in the usual way and say, stand or fall, up the Albion.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.